have a question. Are we supposed to stop at 8 o'clock for a public comment on teleconference calls?
I don't believe there's any public on the call, are there?
Well, PK was asking me by text. I don't know if she's still on or not. But
there were two people.
Yes, I'm still here. Captain Thomas.
Would you like to say something? It's 9 o'clock rather than 8, but go ahead if you have something you'd like to say.
It's 8 o'clock Mountain Time.
PK, you go first.
You sure?
No, I don't want to make a speech per se. I wanted to come and talk about the Community Advisory Board and its work at handling the issue of bylaw changes. And there are several things that I think are really, really important to ascertain. What we did was we listened, we read both sides of the argument from the two protracted individuals, Pacifica Fightback.org and Restructuring Pacifica. And one of the things that falls heavily on our shoulders is the fact that these bylaw changes are a yes or no vote for them when there's more to it. For instance, the issue about money, the fact that we have loans coming due, is not one that we ignored, and that we think that those that have gone to court, and we believe that it was done in an undemocratic way. We also believe that there was less insight and input from grassroots and communities, particularly with stations and not just the board. We think you should go back to the drawing board. I mean, I listened to you tonight, and there wasn't as much adversarial conversation, so it means sense to me that maybe we could work together. The Community Advisory Board has been coming together for about 18 or 19 months regularly, and no one on the LSB has pulled up the report that we did to see if what we learned in that town hall meeting can be used to help us galvanize Pacifica for the community. It is not a white station. It is not a black station. It is the people's station. And the affiliates that we seem to ignore will be affected and impacted by the decision that we make by the 19th. Our thing is not a yes or no vote, but to go back to the drawing board, because 9 people should not be responsible for creating a document to affect all of Pacifica. First of all, those 9 people don't even represent the community. They represent about 1% of the communities that have been part of Pacifica. And I heard you talking earlier about the archives, one of our most valuable assets. It does not make sense that we don't cherish those archives as being part and parcel of the communities that have made up the 50 years of KPST and Pacifica, and more than 50 years overall in Pacifica. There's so many things that you can do to make money. And the reason that we haven't used those attributes is because there are certain people who do not want certain people making those decisions. Look, I keep saying this. I've said it from the time I was on the board. So when I got off the board, because my life was more important than the stress of being on the board had on me, but I've been a part of the Community Advisory Board that is diverse culturally, socially, racially. We're diverse. and we come together in 90 minutes and analyze and strategize what can make a difference, but they're ignored. And I think that there before, but for the grace of God, the cab would be destroyed again, but nobody would be caring about it. There are those that have kept it before the community every month when we meet at Shea Community Center. And now with the virus that is impacting, the pandemic that is impacting us, is there a way to call a ceasefire? I'm asking directly to Bill Crozier, as he is one of those nine, to think about what's more important, getting what you want or getting what needs to be done. At some point in time, in the 18 years since that first court case that said that KPFT had to be more diverse and more culturally inclusive, in those 18 years, you keep trying to take over, and you haven't quite succeeded except to hemorrhage membership and hemorrhage dollars. This is a PR nightmare, and it has been since I was on the board as well as before. And it's going to take some brave individuals, and I'm talking to you, each LSB member here tonight. What do you want to see happen? What is your vision for a station the size of Houston to have the very things that we need so that people right now aren't afraid, that they aren't not knowing who to trust? And I just want to say something about being on a board. If you can't work with everybody, get off the board. Those are not the kind of people that need to be on the board. Always talking about the dysfunction and that people are being hassled. I listened to the debate, and I realized we are miles apart. And it's not... it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Nobody is going to get exactly what they think they want. The unintentional consequences of the actions being taken by not only those nine people, but the individuals on the LSD that have been part of the factionalization of a board that could do great work, need to step aside and see what other people can do. And I think that it's time to do that, and so does the CAB. Everything needs to be done in a more democratic way. Oddly enough, it seemed like tonight might be one of those days. There are two aspects of the current bylaws that we need to make the most important attribute of why any of us should be on the board. First, the foundation is committed to peace and social justice and seeks to involve in its governance and operations individuals committed to these principles. The commitment to diversity. I'm sorry. Unless we get diverse, unless we are inclusive, it is never going to work. So the foundation and KPFT should be committed to diversity and inclusion of all nations, races, ethnicities, creeds, colors, classes, genders, sexual orientation, ages, and people with disability in its programming, staff, management, and committees, and committees and governance. And I want to tell you that the KPFT Community Advisory Board is all of that. It already is. We're asking that you listen to us and work with us for creating venues and events that let people know that we can save the station because we care more about the people than we do dollars. And that, in turn, will increase the viability of our station to get people who will give. I always say the biggest churches in this country bringing in millions of dollars, it's not the millionaires that support the church. It's the little old lady and the couple who believes in tithing and the young married couple with kids who want a church that gives them a foundation. It's the same thing with this foundation and media. And sometimes I just want to say, I'm done with this. All the time we've spent fighting this fight, not letting everybody be KPFT, has made some people think that it's hopeless. But there are a few of us. And the Community Advisory Board is one structure that is keeping the faith and keeping the hope that just maybe we can stop being stupid and mean and angry and ugly and start being the kind of station that could be better than any MSNBC, any Fox News, any NPR, because it is made up of the communities that live and breathe in Houston. And those communities are actually doing things concerning this virus. And we're not reporting on it at the station. So that's my two cents. I will keep pushing for a kind of...
Thank you.
Influx
very
of
much
people who
thank
care.
You. Very good.
Deb, Bill, I think there's two
yes,
other
go ahead.
For public comment, at least two others.
Ocean Are there
and,
others?
And Tom.
Go yes. ahead.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'm very concerned that at this point I don't know when our meeting's going to end, so we should perhaps determine how long these people can speak?
Yes, I think that's a good idea. PK had a lot to say. I think she was concise in saying what she needed to say, but it took rather a long time. So let's limit everybody else to how many people are there who want to speak? Do you know? Does anybody know?
He said two.
There were two at the beginning.
Well, how about
of the
we
meeting,
limit them?
But I don't know right now.
How about say 3 minutes apiece, and if we need an extension, we can give it. But 3 minutes apiece should do it.
Well, PK spoke for about 14 minutes, so there is more than 3 minutes each left.
I did not speak 20 minutes.
That was not 14 minutes.
Linden for the stack, please. Linden for the stack.
Linden.
I think Ocean was on, and Captain Tom were on the call earlier as two people that had identified themselves that I recall, but I don't know anybody else. You might ask if they're out there.
If they are out there, if they're listening, they could call in. I'd be happy to give them time.
Yeah, this is Ocean. I don't want to speak. I just wanted to listen. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is Captain Tom still out there calling in?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, thank you for your time. Also, the board members. My only thing is that mostly what PK said was that we need to start working together and stop worrying about who's going to be on the board, not going to be on the board. We need to stop addressing these issues and move on. If the PMB has passed down judgment for the LSB to allow these people to be on the board, and that's the way it is, okay, as far as I'm concerned. What we need to concentrate on is our raising money for Pacifica. We only have until April 1st, 2021, and we do not have much time left, people. So we need to get on the ball. We need to start working together as a team, stop arguing with each other, and start just going by what Robert's Rules of Order is. Robert's Rules of Order tells how to operate a board or a committee. So, as far as I'm concerned, I'm also thanking Teresa Allen for allowing me to be on the development committee for PSP. I thank you, Teresa. And also, ma'am?
Yep. She was just acknowledging. Go ahead.
Okay. And I'm going to do everything in my power to try to help get this ball on the road. That's all there is to it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your good words. I think the speakers, the public comment speakers, both brought something very real to the table. And, of course, we have this looming vote that will determine a lot of things. But regardless of how the vote goes, I think each of us needs to determine how important this radio station is to us. And no matter how the vote goes, what we individually are going to do to make this thing work and work well. And I appreciate both of the speakers. Thank you. Is there anybody
Thank
else
you.
Or is that? Is there anybody else who wants to say anything for public comment? Okay, let's move on. We were on and we are, well, we're not out of time, but we're getting on. Yes, you have something to say? Was somebody asking to be recognized?
PM report.
Oh, yes. We're back to that. Yes. That's what's next on the agenda. Is Judah on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Could you speak up and give us your report?
Sure. I think, as everybody knows, we're under difficult times. This has put quite a little burden on us, this virus. We've taken steps at the station pretty much consistent with other stations in the network. We're really encouraging programmers to limit the number of people that they have at the station at any given time. We'd like to just have paid staff and on-air staff at the station. We're pretty much on lockdown. Programming is being done remotely. And that seems to be functioning pretty well. We're probably able to expand our capabilities to program and operate the station remotely. I've been in touch with the National Pacifica staff. We are prepared to have some conference calls with the general managers so we can share ideas and strategies and information. We're in compliance with the FCC. We were obviously hurt by the postponement of Amy Goodwin on March 21st. We're somewhat handcuffed, not being able to convene larger events where there are a number of people. And so we're exploring other ways to raise money. I want to thank Teresa Allen in particular because she's been there trying to help us raise money. She's got a committee that's functioning. We look at this. The latest projections that I have is that this lockdown that's going on in the United States will extend at least 3 months, quite possibly longer, into the fall. The longest limit that I've heard so far is September, October. So at this point, it doesn't seem that the gala is threatened at this time, but it's really a day-by-day situation. So that's kind of where we are right now. I'm exploring developing some grants to seek some grant opportunities. We talked about another strategy at the staff meeting, and that was to reach out to our major donors. There's a software or service called Wealth Engine, and for about $15 to $2,000 a year, we can access this service that can take our database of donors and determine if they give larger amounts of money to other nonprofits that we might be able to go to our major donors and ask them for some help. That's kind of the bottom line of where we are right now. Any questions?
Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you, Judon, and I know it is challenging. Thank you for helping try to keep things together. And I agree with if you can do programs remotely and or pre-recorded, that's probably a good way to do it. I was wondering about our translators, what the status is. And also, I just let you know, I was a few days ago, I was driving through Huntsville, and there was no audio on our translator there. The translator was on the air. We had the carrier, but there was no audio. So that's happened before. We need to get that fixed. And also, if you could tell us about the progress on getting the Galveston translator going again. Thank you.
Yes. If you just drop me an email note about the problem that you encountered in Huntsville, I'll refer that to Bobby Modad. Bobby has retrieved some information on the figures of what he projects would be the cost to locate a transmitter. I don't have that at hand, but I'll forward that to you, Bill. He has provided me that information. And I think the challenge is, if we go ahead, how are we going to pay for it, both the installation as well as the monthly fees? And with us not bringing in any real significant new dollars right now, I think that's going to be a tremendous challenge. But we continue to investigate, and I've got some data from Bobby that I'll refer to you, Bill, and anybody else on the LSB who'd like to have it.
Okay, well, let's talk. Yeah, definitely. Because I see that as an opportunity to bring in more money, more donations with listeners in Galveston. Thank you.
Okay.
Patrick, can you hear that?
Alan for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Judon, are you saying that we have the equipment to transmit to Galveston, we just don't have a place to put it because we've had several people who have told us that we could put the equipment on their property, and they did not mention any charge. So what is keeping us from doing Galveston? Because I would hate to have it said that while you were general manager, we lost the right to airwaves in Galveston. That community needs the radio service that we could provide.
So I talked to the Pacifica SEC compliance officer, and he advised me that we did still have the opportunity to broadcast from Galveston. It has not been lost. The equipment that I think was mentioned that we had some time ago, we still have. So we're basically talking about whatever cost it would take to erect a tower, get on a tower, to install the equipment in Galveston. There may be some SEC work that needs to be done. And then if there is any maintenance cost or fees. And like I said, I'll forward that report to you from Bobby Modad, but he did respond and provide that information.
That is the best news I've heard in a long, long time, and I think people can get enthusiastic about supporting the costs of providing service to Galveston. So I definitely want to talk about that. Maybe we should have a I'm thinking we should have a development brainstorming for funding, and some people, I think Susie Moreno expressed an interest in that. maybe Rita Washington. So maybe we should have a conference call next week and talk about that, how we can have a campaign to raise the money to do what's needed.
Well, we certainly need all the board help that can be offered to find some significant donors and add some additional donors. That needs to be a focus for the next 30, 60 days, 90 days for sure.
Patrick and the staff.
Ted for the staff.
Patrick and then Ted.
When I was the morning board op for many years, a significant number of people were donors at that time from Galveston, and I think we lost a number of people because of not having the Galveston. And it's also really good to hear that Don Freeman has changed his mind when he said that he couldn't find that equipment. He didn't know where it was. So that is really good news, because that was pretty easy. But I'd also like to add, regarding Galveston, that we did have a major donor a few years ago who is the main guy at the Board of Regents down at the, I believe, the Methodist Church in Galveston that has a really tall spire, and he was very eager at the time to put the Galveston transmitter in the top of their spire, although I believe that Bobby was very not eager to do that, so I'm sure you'll consult with him. But anyway, information.
Thank you.
Any names, contact information, email addresses, and phone numbers of potential locations in Galveston, if you forward those to me by email, I will follow up on them.
Okay, cool.
Excellent. That sounds like a real beginning. And certainly, we're all close to Galveston. We all feel that we should be in Galveston, and let's get some energy and make it happen. Was there anything else, Judah?
Deb, is it my turn?
I was going to see if Judon was finished, and then it's your turn.
Unless there are any other questions, I think that's kind of the bottom line. We're going to need to raise some more money, and that will create opportunities to expand to Galveston and sustain the station.
Okay.
Hi, Deb.
I have questions for Judon.
Sorry to interrupt. I just want to thank Judon and everybody for your efforts. Go ahead, Ted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Judon, for entertaining our questions. I have three. The first one is, what new programs have been brought on the air? What new programs are in the percolating stage? What can we expect to hear in the way of exciting new programs? And have you announced to people that they can apply to become programmers? That's my first question. My second one is, are we getting programmers to announce upcoming shows that will air that day or the next day, in the same way that NPR does it? And thirdly, we have committees that we are supposed to be operating. A number of them have not been filled yet tonight, such as anti-racism and diversity and outreach. These are committees that are open to our members. I'm wondering if we can have your assistance in notifying our listening audience that they can get involved and become members of these committees. Those are my three questions.
So on the first question, we have added one new program to the air. I think it's on Tuesdays at 2 o'clock. It's Tony Diaz, Latino News and Politics. Tony is quite a media figure in the Hispanic community. There's a lot of excitement around that program. That's the only real new program at this point. Part of what I said to the programmers, and, you know, we've had two meetings that I convened with the programmer staff, is that rather than kind of arbitrarily, although I have some opinions and beliefs about the programming that's on. I thought it'd be a fairer process to develop some objective criteria, share that with all the programmers, and then once we've shared that evaluation criteria, then begin to meet with them collectively and individually. Obviously, convening the programmers collectively is extremely difficult now because of the shutdown in the United States, and the best advice of not convening large groups of people. Conference calls can be equally as challenging as we have seen on this call. But, you know, I am committed to doing it, but it has slowed the process down. There are some other ideas, but one, for example, in our last fund drive, Robin Lewis created a spreadsheet so we know how much, what percentage of the goal each of the programs reached. Some of them didn't do too well. I think we have to sit with them and ask them, are they having any difficulty? Are they doing what they can to build their audience? Do they understand that that's one of the criteria by which we look at all the stations? We have not fully tapped all of our resources that I think are available to KTST. Some of these programmers have the opportunity for a very significant following and the opportunity to reach out to some people in their network of relationships that will support them by donating to KPFT and supporting those shows. I talked to, I think his name is Sinbad. Sinbad has some national connections to people like Jimmy Kimmel and some of the late night news hosts. And I said, you know, we'd really like you to help bring these people into KPFT's orbit. He says, I'll get on the phone and I'll start making those connections today. So, and there are a couple of others that I've reached out to as well. So I do think we have the opportunity to reach out to bring into the Pacifica KTFT orbit other people than just the members who we go to three times a year and ask to contribute to our fund drive. That's number one. Number two, we're doing a lot more cross-promotion. I've asked each programmer to record a generic promo for their show and also start developing some specific promos when they're having a special guest on. For example, Tony Diaz interviewed Tom Steyer, a former presidential candidate, you know, pretty big name. And we also challenging our programmers to say, you know, if we give somebody the opportunity to be on our airwaves, we ought to at least ask them to become a member and a donor to KPFT, so we're doing that. We need to do some more cross-promotion, but everybody knows that that's something that I expect them to do. I have an idea about a special on the virus with Houston medical experts that Richard Hanna is attempting to follow up on. And so hopefully we'll be able to get that on the air pretty soon. Although I think the national people are covering it, there is always a local angle, a Houston angle. So those are two things. Now, the whole point about programming is we can get some new programs. There are people who are interested in doing programs that I think have some access to some potential donors. But that means somebody's got to come off the air. Everybody wants to be on the FM. And I just think that a process needs to be carried out that gives people a chance to, you know, justify their program and show that they're being part of a larger team. And so that's why I've been a little bit slow in implementing that, because people are working very, very hard now. Jill Morgenstein, who was helping out in our membership, because we still got to get premiums out to people who've already donated in the last fund drive, well, she resigned because Not at HSD is basically out at least till April 10th, maybe for the rest of the year. She doesn't have anybody to do child care, so she's got to stay at home with her children during this period of time. But she still is committed to being a volunteer. So we're coming and dealing with those things too. What was your third and final question, Ted?
Committees. If we get our committees up and running, will you announce them on the air?
It's my understanding that that has not really been the past practice at KPFT. This is from the staff, that the board and its committee functions are separated from the day-to-day operation of the station. So I understand that we post it on KPFTX, but that's not something that we have done in the past.
I will show you in the bylaws where it does require that committee meetings, just like the national board meetings, be announced on the airwaves.
If you'll send that to me in the bylaws, I will address it. And if we can have, if the board can have constructive conversations, like the latter part of this call has been, then I think, let's invite some more people in. It doesn't help us if there's what appears to be infighting amongst the board. And I've said this from the beginning. If the board tries and works to reach consensus, then I think we can invite some more people to come and support us privately and publicly.
Thank you.
Okay. A quick question,
Madam,
Patrick.
Go ahead.
Yes.
In the introduction to my question, I do want to give respect to the fact that you're being collective and objective in the decision-making process about the shows, because some managers of the past have been very arbitrary, so I really respect that. At the same time, I'm really concerned about particularly some of our older volunteers with the virus. We know that Tom Hanks, the way that he caught the virus was on one single appearance on a TV show. So apparently it's very infectious. So I would like to refer you to a suggestion that longtime volunteer Larry Winters had made, which was given that the HD programs are not well listened to, is it worth the risk of having those programmers in the studio and increasing the, essentially rolling the dice that many more times that we could get a community spread within the station?
Well, I've looked at that, and let me explain to you what my research, I've been following this very, very closely. The reality is that it's virtually impossible to avoid getting exposed to the virus if you go outside your house or interact with anybody. It is that infectious, and it is everywhere. So the fact that there are two programmers or three folks at the radio station doing their show, we're offering them the choice and encouraging them to do the show remotely. So we're actually encouraging and to pre-record some shows and put them on the computer so we have some backup programming. The numbers on HD, and as well as the numbers on KPC, those are current numbers. And so HD is a growing phenomenon in radio, in the industry in general. And it's almost a sooner or later, HD will be almost as strong as FM. But again, we got to promote it, we got to market it, we got to sell it while we do the same thing. But the idea of turning off HD2 and then looking at expanding to Galveston in the same breath seems to be that's not the strategy we need. Now, you're right in that people who are seniors or elders are more at risk than anybody else. But I'm saying they can't avoid it. And they have the option of pre-recording or doing their program remotely. And we're encouraging them to do that. If that addresses your question.
This is Sandy Stack.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Judon, Judon, I understood what you said, and I agree. HD is a growing concern, and certainly you just don't want to turn the studio off necessarily. However, sometimes there'll be 5-6 people in the HD studio. Will you at least limit that to 2 so there could be good distancing, et cetera? And
well,
the same thing
that
depends. Their studio as well, you know?
That's 2 different issues here. One is the nature of some of these shows. They kind of come with the crew, and that's part of their marketing. There's something else that's been reported to me that some of the shows may be overdoing it. I suspect these are young people, and I was given a report. And by the way, if somebody hears or sees something, it's helpful if you say something happened Saturday night. But if you say it happened between the hours or 8 and 9 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock and give me the name of the program and the person, then I can deal with it a little bit more directly than having to do some detective work to see who it is. But I agree that, first of all, we have to take this really, really seriously. And people who haven't been so, for example, the virus can live on surfaces like the door handle to go in the front door at KTFT between 3 and 9 days. So just the fact that you touch the door handle to go into KTFT, you at risk to exposure to the virus. The young people in Florida who are on the beaches during spring break, directly not paying attention to this, folks. And I sent out some information to the board and pretty much everybody in Pacific. Got to take this very, very seriously. It is a dangerous virus, and it definitely attacks the elders. But see, the children have the virus too, but they're not getting sick. But being around children like an HSV, they're a little virus injured. Full of the virus. The virus can take, once you're exposed to it, up to 7 to 10 days to just incubate before you manifest any symptoms. Now, I've written people, I've emailed, I've told them, you know, but we're going to have to say it over and over and over again. And if you look at the increase of the number of infections in the United States and the deaths, the curve is rising exponentially, and this is going to be with us through the summer. People were initially saying, well, maybe, you know, it'll fall off. Nope, this is going to go till the fall season again. At least it looks from all the experts that I've been listening to until August of the summer. But I will give that advisement out again. And I'll be particularly looking at a couple of shows that were reported to me that they had a great number of people there, more than 4 or 5, and see what that's all about. And thank you for bringing that to my attention.
You're welcome. I would draw your attention to Saturdays in the morning and later in the afternoon, around 2 o'clock and around 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, drop me an email with just the days, the times. If you know the name of the show and the host, just get that to me by email, and I will definitely address it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, KTFT is not the hangout place. And if that was an attitude that people had in the past, it's not my attitude. It's not a hangout place. It's a radio station. Any other questions?
Nancy on the stack.
I couldn't hear you. Who was on the stack?
Nancy and Abby, I don't know who was first.
Nancy first.
Go ahead.
Okay. Judon, thank you, Abby. Judon, could you consider when you have time, already you've been December, January, February, 3 months, to do a GM report on the air and have the time for questions by telephone call-ins, and also start the LSB report via telephone, so we don't have to come to the station, and we answer questions from the listeners. And also the tallies on the fund drive, I never got them. I think Bill said he was going to send them, but I did have trouble with my iCloud account, and I did not get the agenda yet, today's agenda. So, but the staff can send the tallies on the fund drive so we can see the shows and how they're doing to the LSB. This has been a long-standing problem, never getting them, but somehow one member gets them, and it's not fair. I would like to see those things. That's all.
I don't have any problem with the LSB having that data and that information. So there are no issues with that. But I think what we have to do is really look at ourselves and how we're contributing to KPFT's financial and otherwise health, and to talk to people individually. I'm not trying to call anybody out, but we have an unusual situation. We have programmers who basically think that's their show, they own it, and they can do what they will. Actually, that's not the way it works. Any talent or producer or programs know that you have to work in with the station management, and their goals and objectives are going to be set not only in terms of the quality and consistency and the production quality, but the programming too. Yes and yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Judon. That was really...
Well, Adriana was on the stack.
Oh, Adriana was... Okay, go ahead. Last question. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Judon. First of all, I want to congratulate you because we in the Finance Committee, we received some of the numbers from this last few months, and we see very clearly that in the last two, almost 3 months, the support is going up since you are there. That is the first thing. I want to congratulate you on that. But the second thing that I want to say, I hear that more than once. We have the LSB. I agree with you. Sometimes the LSB is contagious. We only reflect the reality of this country. That's what we are. That's why we are American. That's why we have different opinions, and that's why we discuss. I agree that sometimes people say it's not good. We don't want to be a good program. We have our bylaws that said what we are supposed, what are the responsibilities as members of the LSB have. It's nothing that we want to be this way or that way. It's what the bylaw mandate that we are doing. And sometimes, I think that I say that before, and I know that normally, I mean, I'm using phrases that are not mine, obviously. I'm paraphrasing, in this case, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, when he said, I paraphrase that saying, it's not what to the programmers, it's not what you are asking us to do for you, it's what you can do for Pacifica and for the foundation. Because having a mic in the KPFT or in the Pacifica Foundation is a responsibility. You know, it's not a right, it's a privilege, and you need to earn it. It's not for your own pocket or for whatever you think that it is. You need to be serving the Pacifica Foundation and KPFT. I agree with you that it's very important that programmers understand that part too. But according to the open meetings of the CPD and our own bylaws, it's an obligation of our radio stations to air certain number of times every time that we have a committee meeting, the LSB and the committees of this LSB. It's the obligation. It's not they like it or not. It's the obligation that is part of the bylaws. And like I said, I understand that sometimes it's contentious, but you know what? Most listeners, when they come to our meetings, I'm not talking about the LSB by itself, but when they come to the meetings of the different committees, they bring a bunch of information, a wealth of knowledge, and they get engaged in the process of governance that is part of all of us. It's not only voting. It's the same thing that in the country. It's not only voting. It's being part of the governance. It's being part of the discussion, and it's being part to try to find the solution, even when sometimes we are so passionate and we discuss and we sound like we all unified. That is not true. Sometimes it's just passionate discussion of ideas. And I think that in a country like the one that we live, we should show to everybody that KPFT and Pacifica is open to everybody. Even if you speak like the way that I speak, even if the color of your skin is not the right one, or even if you are a white or a woman, whatever, KPFT is open to everybody, and everybody has a way and have a place to work, even in governance. I think that it's not true that we are not doing good when people see the fighting, because it's not what happened. You go to committees, and you see that most of the time, in the committees is where the work is being done. And I really, like I said, it's our obligation. We promise, and I can show that to you whenever you want, the Pacifica Foundation make a commitment to the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, about the openness of our meetings and putting our meetings in the station and being here for members to know that is happening, okay? I'm sorry, and I know that you are doing your best with your part, but I believe that the LSB is doing their part too. Some more than others, but I believe that it's part of our obligation too. We have the Pacifica Foundation by law that says specifically our duties and powers, and that is what we need to go through.
Thank you.
Well,
I want to thank you again for all that you are doing, because like I said, we saw like the numbers are going up since you are in. Okay?
Well, thank you, and I agree with your sentiment.
Okay. Can we move on? Are there any more questions for Judon?
It's almost 10 o'clock. 3 minutes.
I didn't hear you.
Madam Chair, this is Teresa Allen. I'd like to give my report for development and outreach.
Okay. Let us move on if there's no other question for Judon. Thank you very much for your extended participation, Judon, and we will be in touch. Go ahead, Teresa.
The Outreach and Development Committee met this week. We didn't have very many people on the call. We had a very successful fundraiser with only about 5 weeks lead time. It was an advantage that was taken. It was an opportunity that was taken advantage of by Robin Lewis and a guy named Mike August, who had formerly been a general manager. We raised $6,111 and a potential for a lot more. He did mention that, in his opinion, we could easily raise $500,000 if we put our mind to it. I think we have many people who would give if they were asked, and I encourage board members to think that way. I have talked with people that, they said they had money, and I didn't ask them at the time. I was hoping they would put it in their will, but I think that there's something that can be done. People ask what they can do for the gala, which is scheduled in November. You can start getting a table together. Tickets will be $125 a ticket, and there are people that might want to sponsor a table. So you don't have to wait until November to start planning to get a table of people. We should not wait to just solicit money at the event.
most of the work can be done prior to that event. Also want to thank Carla and Lyndon Foley for assembling a slideshow of people who have been former staff members and former programmers who have passed. I have sent out a link to that slideshow. It's lovely. It's very nicely done. But we have people who we can add to it. So between now and our gala, which is going to be in November, the second Saturday in November, we can add to that. So if you know people that you like, I would like to have a picture of Cassandra Ashley, for example. I think she was the first person that did BHM, Black History Month 365. Now, I went to her funeral, but I don't have a picture of her. So that's just one person, and I did mention others in an email, and I think we should probably also send this out to the programmers and say, is there somebody that you have a picture of that, you know, we can add to this? Because it really conveys how this has been a collaboration that this station has lasted so long. And I will send the email out to people on the LSB who would like to have a conference call to discuss brainstorming ideas for raising money when you can't have an event. Because we have radio, I think we can really take advantage of you know, what we do best, radio. So look for that and give me a call or text me at my 832 number if you would like to be involved in that. It's just brainstorming. We're not going to be criticizing ideas. We're going to throw out the ideas, throw them up, see if they stick on the ceiling. So I'm confident about development. I think that's about it. That's it for development for me.
Madam Chair, Dwayne Lark, have an observation and a request.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to appeal to Ted on this because he was a good friend of his, and of course he was a good friend of all. This was a PhD who was a psych. I believe he worked at counseling. He passed about 2 or 3 years ago that I think we should put on that list. And the name escaped me, but he served maybe 5 years between the years of 2010 to about 2016. I think he passed in 2017. Ted, who am I speaking about? He would always try to get us to speak lower because he had a hearing issue, but he could hear us hollering and carrying on.
You'll have to let me think about that one, and we'll brainstorm, and maybe it'll come up to me, but right now I can't think of it.
He was a PhD, and he was high in counseling, so whenever we get his name, I'd like to add him on the list.
Okay.
Chair, Nancy?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I would like to ask the LSB if I could put on the list for technology and also nominate Venetia Patel Adams for governance.
Oh, goodness. We had sort of moved on. I don't think that there's any limitation.
I don't want to be in governance.
I don't think there's any limitation if people want, when the meetings are called, anybody who wants to can attend.
No, these are teleconferences, the technology and the national
government. Oh, you're talking about BND committees?
Yes. So if we get on tonight, otherwise if I don't ask, then I have to wait till 1 month later to ask the board. And
okay. Who was it you wanted on?
Nancy
wanted
to
be on.
I do not want to be on the governance.
Okay.
Oh, you don't want to?
Who was your other suggestion, Nancy?
Okay, Venetia Patel, I was going to nominate her for governance, but she just said she does not want to be on. So, but please put me on technology then. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, you're on.
Madam Chair, do you want any report from the Finance Committee?
I believe that's, let me just see. We are down
Madam Chair, is over.
we passed already 10 p.m. We have a
10:04
time.
It's 10 o'clock now, yes.
Yes, and some of us, I'm sorry, but we really need to start really early.
Yeah, well, it says adjourn at 9:45, so we're 15 minutes over. We have some business. Nothing, it looks to me. Is there any business anybody has that must be taken up tonight?
A motion to adjourn.
Okay. Is there objection to that?
No, that was not a motion. That was not a motion. I was saying you need a motion.
I move that we adjourn. Teresa Allen moves that we adjourn.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? No, hearing none. We are adjourned. Thank you very much for your attendance. It was a very good meeting. We got lots of stuff done. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Night.
Take care. Take care.
Thank you.